It is great to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our worship service here at Isaiah City. Also, I'd like to thank those who are tuned in to us, as Justin mentioned on the live stream earlier. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here as well. I do want to say that there are a lot of great things that are happening despite the circumstances we're living in. And there are a lot of great things that are going on. Kent, thank God for the things that we may not even be aware of that are going on. Justin earlier mentioned how great it was Wednesday night being here. And if you missed out on that, you missed out on a lot of fun and a lot of excitement. And so I appreciate all of you for what you are and who you are and what you do. I also recognize, though, that the devil's working real hard at trying to get us to lose our focus. Our theme this year, focus. We didn't know what we were getting into, of course, in 2020. But here we are. Hopefully this year we'll come to a close, normal as possible. And we'll start over anew in 2021. But again, we, like a lot of churches, decided, hey, since it's 2020, let's have a play on that, and we'll talk about focus, talking about the eyes and where we need to be. And then all of a sudden, a lot of things have happened. And here we are, another week has passed, and there's still a lot of chaos going on. There's still a lot of things that are a struggle. And I want you to know that as I sit there and I observe what happens in life, and I observe what happens in society, you know, sometimes I too can get down. Sometimes I too certainly can get distracted. And so I try to really discipline myself. I'm just telling you from a personal experience. I can't tell you from your experience. I can tell you from mine. I really try to discipline myself and try to cut out a bunch of news and a bunch of media and a bunch of stuff that's going on. And I'll be honest, I haven't missed it. I certainly haven't. As I purged that out, I haven't missed that. But this week, as I was reading and listening going in, down the road, I'm in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is not my favorite book of the Bible. There's a lot of hardness, hard stuff to understand sometimes in it. A lot of apocalyptic language, like in Daniel some, and of course in Revelation. And it's a fascinating story. You remember a few years ago, we did Vacation Bible School over the Valley of the Dry Bones, which is where we're headed today. But as I was going through Ezekiel and fighting through it, if you will, listening to it, I got again to chapter 37, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. That here's a man who God uses, Ezekiel. There wasn't a whole lot of special about Ezekiel. I don't know that he was a great speaker. I don't know that he was a great looking guy. I don't know that he could bench press the gym. You know, I don't know about Ezekiel. But God chose Ezekiel, and Ezekiel became a prophet. And he led Ezekiel to a valley that was full of bones. They were all dead people. The flesh had rotted away. And he looks out at this cemetery, and he sees in this valley just a bunch of dead bones. And so God says, start preaching. Now listen, sometimes it's hard enough to preach to live people, you know? But now he's saying, preach to all these dead people. You know, and if you've ever, we have to go and, I'm used to speaking in front of people, but we go to Mobile Christian when we speak in chapel there, and right now they record, and Eric or whoever's there will just say, all right, go. And, or sometimes he'll say, all right, we need to do a mic test. Just say the first few lines of your lesson. And it's just really kind of awkward to maybe get started a little bit because you're just talking to a computer screen or you're just talking. That, as hard as that is, God says, okay, just start preaching to these dead bones. Well, folks, you know the story, and I'm really starting the sermon at the end of the story. As he preaches, those bones start rattling, they start shaking, they start rising up. Then he tells them, preach to the wind, and he preaches to the wind, and God puts that spirit in them, and those bones come alive. Well, guess what? At the end of that story, it hit me like a ton of bricks. When we think there is no hope, When our candidate doesn't win, or maybe doesn't look like they're going to win, or maybe our bank account's not what it needs to be, or maybe there's still a virus and we got to still wear masks to December the 11th and all these things and all this, and I get disease and I've got problems in marriage and I got problems with my children and I've got all this and I'm sitting there and I feel dead. I feel lifeless. I feel worthless. Guess what? God, the Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one, the only true living God, is still on His throne, and He made those dead bones come alive, and He can change our lives too. And we need to sit back today, take a deep breath today, and remind ourselves that every little thing is going to be all right. And I want to do that through Ezekiel chapter 37. Go ahead and turn there with me, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 37. There's a question asked. Can these bones live? Now, before we get to that question, I want to talk about a little bit of the background of this scripture. As Ezekiel's standing there and that question is asked, can these bones live? God had called His people, His chosen people, the Jews. He had called them out of captivity of Egypt. You remember they had been in captivity. They had been slaves. For over 100 years they had been in that captivity. God brought them eventually into the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land they didn't have to serve for, they didn't have to fight for, they didn't have to earn. God gave it to them. All they had to do was listen to Him and obey Him. As He goes into this promised land, they end up having a king. Even though it was against what God wanted them to do, He finally gave in and said, "All right, I told you so, it's not going to go well, but here's your king." And ultimately, they become a great nation. But they turn against God. God allowed them to again go into captivity, this time to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. That army invaded Israel. They had reduced Solomon's temple to ashes. They had taken away many of the Jewish people back to Babylon as captives. And when Ezekiel is standing at that valley of the dry bones, the condition that Israel was in, a once flourishing nation, a nation with so much gold that silver was worthless in their kingdom, a nation that had a great army, that had defeated mighty warriors like the giants from Gath and Philistia. They had had all these great things going on. They had watched God take over entire cities along the way just by marching around them and shouting a little bit. That mighty nation now, with that mighty temple, with all that money and gold that they had, they are like this valley that Ezekiel's standing in. They are dead. They are without hope. They are lost. They are at wits end. But God has a vision for Ezekiel. You see, God's plan's not over at this point yet. Because why did God make Israel a great nation? So that ultimately the tribe of Judah could bring forth the Messiah, the King of all kings. That hasn't happened yet. And so God still had a plan. Even though maybe Israel deserved to be dead, God had a mission. And because of this mission, He raises up men like Ezekiel. And Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 verses 1 and 2 is brought to this valley full of dry bones. Let's read it together. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry." They'd been there a long time. The sun had scorched them, He dried them out, right? But I want you to do something for me. As you see that scene, I want you to imagine it right now. I want you to see the scene that Ezekiel's standing before. There are bones scattered everywhere. They are dried out. They're dead. There are bones all over the place. They are scattered by the wild animals. So there is nothing but all these miscellaneous bones as far as the eye can see. Now again, I told you this is a vision of Israel. Skip down to verse 11 with me. This is God talking now. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And we ourselves are cut off. Maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe we just feel lifeless. Maybe we feel like I don't have any hope. I've been cut off. Maybe that's how you came to worship here, or that's maybe how you tuned in this morning. But you see, I want you to understand something. If that's the state we're in, and we've gotten there because of what we've trusted in, remember this, some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But we've got to trust in the name of the Lord our God. And as I look through this, I see this, there's no way that Israel can get themselves out of Babylonian captivity by themselves. We can't get ourselves out of whatever's keeping us captive by ourselves. Israel, they were like these dead, dry bones in a graveyard, dead, in a hopeless situation. Again, maybe that describes us here this morning. We look around and it seems hopeless, right? It seems like, hey, the sun's not going to come up tomorrow. But it did. It seems like, hey, there's no reason to press on, but there is. Everything seems to have gone wrong. Maybe individually your life's a mess, or at least it's not where you want it to be. Maybe you see yourself this morning as you're picturing that scene. Instead of being Ezekiel, maybe you're the bones. Maybe you see yourself in that valley. In chapter 37, verse 3, the first part of that, God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? What a question, right? We've got it on the screen behind us. Can these bones live? Ezekiel's looking at thousands of dead, dry bones, and God asked him, can these bones live? How would you answer that question? How would I answer that question? You see, when we look at our situation and all we see is a valley of dead, dry bones, we don't see much hope. To be honest with you, I think I'd answer this question, no. If I'm in a low state, if I'm in a mindset that is feeling sorry for myself and negative and down, maybe I look out and I say, there's no way. They're dead, God. The life has been sucked from the body. The flesh is gone. The heart is gone. The brain is gone. The lungs are gone. All of it's gone. There's no way they can live. We might wonder that because it's hard to imagine dead bones having life. It's hard to imagine our situations sometimes ever getting better. It's hard to sometimes imagine life beyond our present circumstances. Again, Israel had been taken captive by Babylon. Ezekiel can't see much hope for his people, but he answers God's question. Look at the end of verse 3. So I answered, Oh Lord God, You know. Can these bones live, God asked. Well, personally, God, I can't see it. But that's totally up to You. If You want these bones to live, God, they'll live. If You want these bones to resurrect, God, they'll resurrect. I can't see it, but You are the Almighty. You are the Sovereign Lord. How many times in the book of Ezekiel does God refer to Himself and Ezekiel refer to Him as Sovereign Lord? What does sovereign mean? It means supreme. It means there is no other like Him. He is the Lord. And there's nothing else to call Him but sovereign. I don't know, God, if these bones can live, but You do know, because You're in control. You see, God can do whatever He wants. As Kent read to us from Matthew 19 earlier, when it was asked the question, how can these things happen? Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, it's possible for your life to change. It's possible for your circumstances to change. It's possible for things to change in our nation. But we can't do it without God's help. We can't do it without God's permission. And so today, what I've got to do is find out, which bone am I? As I look over that valley, which bone am I? Which bones are we? Because we have some responsibility in this. And we've got some categories that we need to make sure we're not in and that we get into if we are in them. Number one, as we look out in those bones, do we find out, hey, we see some tailbones out there. Am I the tailbone Christian? Who's the tailbone Christian? It's the Christian who sits and lets everyone else do the ministry in the church. Now, I want you to know, I do not look around and see a lot of tailbone Christians, okay? But there are those who think, man, I feel bad. I feel sorry for myself. I get mad when the church does this. I get mad when they don't do this. I get mad, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to sit on my tail the whole time and complain. You see, God doesn't reward our work if we are just sitting around waiting on others to do all the work. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can a tailbone Christian come back to life? You better believe it. But we first got to get off our tailbones. And we got to get to work. But there are other bones in the yard. There are other bones in the valley. We look around and we see a bunch of fingers. We see a bunch of finger bones. And we have to ask the question, am I the finger bone Christian? Who's the finger bone Christian? Those who are always pointing their finger at everybody else and not taking responsibility for their own actions. You see, sometimes I look around and I'm a bunch of dead bones and my life is hopeless and my life is in shambles, but I've brought it on myself because I'm like that finger bone Christian, always pointing the finger. You see, the finger bone Christian is going to blame everybody else for the circumstances they find themselves in. My children didn't turn out right. Well, the youth minister and the preacher didn't do their job. My family's not going like they need to go. Well, the elders haven't done their job. It's their fault. The church could have done this better. They could have done this better. They could have done that better. And they're pointing the finger all the time. You see, that person with that mindset, they will stay dead, dry bones. The Fingerbone Christian struggles with passages that encourage us to go and talk our differences out. These fingers are usually strong from typing on Facebook or other social media sites. Can these bones live again? Yes. The answer is yes. As soon as they understand God cannot bless sin, and the Fingerbone Christian then must make things right. As we look out in the valley, we see some other bones, right? Maybe we look around and we see a jawbone. And we realize, hey, maybe the category I'm in, I'm the jawbone Christian. Who's the jawbone Christian? The one that runs off at the mouth. The one who puts their mouth into motion before their brain is in gear. The jawbone Christian loves to spread gossip and negativity. They intentionally cause trouble by stirring up strife. Sometimes the jawbone Christian starts phrases like this. Hey, don't say anything about this, but. Hey, did you happen to hear about so-and-so? Can you believe that so-and-so did this? Hey, here's a big one. The jawbone Christian may say to you or to me, keep this between us. Well, let me tell you that the jawbone Christian's not doing the church a lot of good. The jawbone Christian is out in that valley dead. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it reads like this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Can the jawbone Christian live? Yes, they can. But we've got to snatch our tongue from the devil and give it and our lives to God. But then we look out in the valley and we see something else. We see some hip bones. As we look out there and we're Ezekiel, we see all these bones and we notice the hip bone there. And then we think about the hip bone Christian. Well, who's the hip bone Christian? The hip bone Christian is the one who Johnny was referencing at this morning when we make sure our giving is still a service, not just a have-to kind of act. The hip bone Christian is the one that sits on that wallet every Sunday. Hey, times are tough. Times are hard. We're hopeless. We're dead financially. We're dead this. We can't give. We can't do. But we expect the church to do for us when I have a need. I give to the church. I haven't given the church in years. But you know what? I've got something coming up. Yep, I expect the church to do this for me. And I get mad if they don't. That's the hip bone Christian. They sit on their wallets. They sit on their bank accounts. And they sit there and they think, hey, God's just going to miraculously fill my bank account up. No, he told Malachi to try him. Outgive God. It's impossible. What about the widow with two mites? You think when she looked in her bank account, she saw a lot of life? No, she did not. She saw two mites. And so when she passed by the offering, you know what she did? She didn't pass by. She gave her two mites. When we say we have nothing to give, that is a lie. Now listen, we've been blessed this year. It's been an unusual year. But it's not about necessarily how much. It's not about even how often, even though it says lay aside in store. on the first day of the week. But you might say, hey, I give my first day of the week the first of the month. Whatever it's why I'm going with that. The point I'm trying to say is this. The widow with two mites gave all she had. 2,000 years later, we're still preaching about her. How about the widow that all she had was a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And she was going to bake some bread. And she and her son were going to eat it. And then they were going to die. But the prophet says to her, bake that for me first. And she did. And guess what? Her bin never ran dry. We can't expect God to give if we're unwilling to give. Can the hip bone Christians live? Yes. When the heart is converted, the wallet will be converted too. Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But as we keep looking out there, we remind ourselves that we're in a valley full of dry bones. So I'm leaving some out, a lot of bones right in the body, but I'm going to get a lot of them here when I say, hey, what about the dry bone Christian? Who's the dry bone Christian? The one whose Christian life has withered up. That's withered up because their faith has withered up. Their faith has withered up is because they put their Bibles away. You see, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. It is impossible to please God without faith. Maybe today, we've put our faith in horses. And we've put our faith in chariots. And we've put our faith in the United States of America. And we put our faith in the dollar. Well, I want you to know something. If that's where our faith is, then eventually we're going to be a bunch of dead, dry, spiritual bones. Because our faith must be in the name of the Lord our God. Can these bones live? Yes, when we immerse ourselves into the Word of God, into a life that is well-pleasing to Him. Been a lot of negative bones. Now let's turn positive for the last couple. As I look out into the valley of the dry bones, and I see a bunch of dead bones without a lot of hope, and God asks the question, can these bones live? Maybe I look around and I see a backbone. I see a spine. And I think about the backbone Christian. Who is the backbone Christian? They are the Christians who have conviction. They are the Christians who know who they are because they understand who they belong to. They understand who stands with them because they recognize who they stand in. You see, the Christian with backbone, they won't live their life to please the world. They won't live their life to blend in with the world. They won't live their life to conform to the standards of the world. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The backbone Christian is not ashamed. They are not afraid. No matter what the devil's going to throw, no matter what the world's going to throw, we're going to have conviction. We're going to stand up. Can these bones live? Yes. And they do live as a testimony to the grace and love of our Heavenly Father. But then finally this morning, we look out into that valley, we see the backbone Christians, and then we look out and we see some knee bones. The knee bone Christian. Who's the knee bone Christian? The one who realizes that victory in the Christian life comes only through a life of prayer. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Prayer works. The kneebone Christian, when they see what the news media says, they turn it off and they get on their knees. The kneebone Christian, when they look on Twitter and they get discouraged by different posts and different things, they turn it off and they get on their knees. I caught myself as I was going down the road. Just me, the Word of God, and God in my truck. I was preaching to the bones. God, if you want these bones to live, they can. But I recognize I better be a kneebone Christian. I better be a kneebone preacher. I better be a kneebone father. I better be a kneebone husband. I better be a kneebone neighbor. You see, if I'm going to change the world, starting with my own world, then I got to get on my knees. I got to get on my face. And I've got to spend time in God's Word, and I've got to spend time in prayer. Can these bones live? You better believe the kneebone Christian is the one who is living the life of victory. Now, as we get ready to close, we find out which category of bone we're in. And that's not all of them. But I want to take you to the words, the rest of the words of this book or this chapter. Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them." What a story. "But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath,'" some versions say wind, "'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." What a story. But why did God do it? As we close out the rest, he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people,'" we're Israel today, right? "I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you. You shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord." Today, maybe we look around in our lives and we feel like we have no hope. We're cut off and everything's just dead around us. But today we got to preach to the bones. We've got to recognize that God can bring life into those bones. They can rattle again. They can stand again. And we can preach to the wind, and we can bring that breath upon that bone, and we can see flesh, and we can see blood, and we can see bones, and we can see life. Today, our lives can live again. We can't trust in the world. We got to trust in Him. Today, do you want to live? Submit your life to the King. Surrender your dead life. Bury it in water. Allow God's blood to contact you. And come up walking in newness of life. Today, which bones are we? Figure it out. Change where we are. And do what we need to do right now together. We stand and sing.